This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you till about 5:40 when we get started with the Fan Morning Show pre-show. And it is the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. A Friday morning, we've almost made it to the weekend, almost there, one more day to go. You're up nice and early with me. I appreciate you tuning in, whether that's on your radio or on the radio.com app. Some cold weather this morning. Again, man, I'm still getting used to this. It still just hits me coming out the door that it's so cold out. I'm not used to it yet, and Colin and I were talking about this the other day. Like, playoff baseball is going on right now on the East Coast. Like, there was a game last night in New York. It's got to be miserable for those fans out there to be in 40-degree weather watching baseball. I mean, I know that we get that in April, but gosh, it's just, you figure that the baseball season should be ended by now. I mean, get to mid-October, push in November, it's just, it's too cold on the East Coast to be playing baseball, but who knows when we'll even feel that again here. Instead, we're trying to get Mayor Peduto's thoughts on Bob Nutting selling the team, and I don't even know. I don't even want to go down that road. But pretty big game, meanwhile, this weekend and tonight for the Pitt Panthers. They take the national spotlight against Syracuse, and you know, the more that I think about it and look at this game, the more I think that this is a game that Pitt needs to win. Not necessarily for the sake of the season, although there is that. You know, they're still in there for the Coastal. They can still win it again if they want to defend that title. But I think in a bigger picture, for the sake of the program, and it's for a couple reasons. One, it's going to be on ESPN tonight, so you'd have to think there's going to be more eyes on the game, more eyes on the product, Friday night or not. I know a lot of people are busy with high school sports and, you know, running around. The schedule just isn't the same on a Friday night as it is on a Saturday night. But there's certainly going to be more eyes on it than, say, the ACC network, whether you asked or demanded for it or not. And more eyes means more potential recruits or families of potential recruits. I mean, it's more exposure, bottom line. And Pitt wants to take that next step, right? They want to establish themselves as one of the top dogs in the conference, in the ACC, which I would argue they haven't really done so yet since coming over to the ACC. Yes, they won the Coastal last year, but that's one season. You've got to have repeated seasons of success before I think you can be taken seriously as a program in a new conference. And so they want to establish themselves, and right now there are three teams with a 2-1 conference record in the Coastal, and that's North Carolina, Virginia, and Duke. Virginia, Pitt already lost to. Duke, they beat, and so North Carolina, we know the issues that they've had in the past. So these are games that they just can't lose, road or not, going on the road to Syracuse. They have to get over the old Pitt ways of not getting over the hump. The Coastal is there to win again. The only problem is that they lost to Virginia and they're ahead of them. But I look at this Pitt team, and it's a lot different from years past in that Pitt's defense is finally what we were promised, or what Pat Narduzzi wanted to build here when he came to the Pitt program. It's better than it's ever been under Pat Narduzzi. It's 19th in the country in total yards allowed per game, and 4th in the ACC in that category. The pass rush has been really incredible. Second in the country in sacks. And the secondary is finally what we were promised with Pat Narduzzi, that he was going to lock it down, that he was going to have corners that make plays, that they were going to be athletic and physical. They feature veteran members like DeMar Hamlin, Dane Jackson, Paris Ford, all of those guys in there now for that secondary, that Pitt secondary, which has been by far, I think, his best group since he's been here. So that's a huge difference coming into this season and going down the stretch in ACC play now, is that the defense is finally there. And offensively, good move by Pitt and by Pat Narduzzi in bringing in a guy like Mark Whipple, who was a passing guru and is a passing guru. And Kenny Pickett, I think, has been steadily getting better and better as the season has gone on, and should be much healthier coming off a bye. He was, you know, dealing with some injury issues coming off that game at UCF and missed the Delaware game, and then, of course, came back for Duke. So I'm assuming that all of those injuries should be past him coming off a bye. And Pickett showed a lot to me by his performance against UCF, and then he came back against Duke and threw for 268 yards and 3 touchdowns on the road in that game, which was really a big, big win for Pitt and for Kenny Pickett there. And give credit to Pat Narduzzi, because he knew Pickett was going to have to play a much bigger role this season, and he even said so himself the other day.
We need to be able to throw the ball this year, period. We knew we were losing 2 tailbacks, so I thought it was important that we, you know, throw the ball a lot better. We just couldn't survive if we could think we could run the ball and can't, and we have no passing game. So the addition of Whipple and you know, Chris Beatty have been really good.
Yeah, so give him credit. At least he knew his weakness going into the season. And he, you know what, he was dead right. Because the leading rusher through 6 games is Todd Sibley Jr. with 192 yards through 6 games. And then A.J. Davis with 184. And so I think they're going to be healthier, more fresh off the bye. And speaking of that, that's a big factor as well. They've had 13 days to prepare for this game. So if you want to continue to be taken seriously year in and year out, and for the sake of national relevance, I think, of the program and of Pitt taking that next step, this is a game coming off a bye that you just can't drop, whether it's at home or not. I know the Carrier Dome, or whatever they call it out there now, is a unique place to play that, you know, the crowd's kind of on you there, and weird things happen. We saw Clemson a couple years ago go in there and lose to Syracuse, but I think that was a much better Syracuse team that year. I haven't seen a whole lot from Syracuse to make me think that they can, that they're a much better team than Pitt. I just don't think they are. And I think Pitt's clearly the better team. Not that that hasn't stopped Pitt from losing these games in the past. And you look at the upcoming schedule for the Panthers, Miami's still there. They have a strong defense, and North Carolina is still left on the schedule as well, and we know, gosh, we know the struggles that they've had over Carolina and against Carolina since Pat Narduzzi has been there, since they've come to the ACC, and now Mac Brown is there, and that team is probably better than ever. So tonight, a big game that you just can't lose if you want to keep moving forward as a program and under Pat Narduzzi. Coming up next, football action last night, Chiefs and Broncos, and there was a big, big story to come out of this game that didn't necessarily involve the final score. Also, game 4 of the ALCS, Astros and Yankees. And I'll go over what I'm going to watch this weekend. The Steelers are off, a bye week. You might screw up your whole sports weekend, but if you want to be a sports junkie and a sports bum this weekend, there's still a lot to watch, and I'll go over that to finish out the show today. It's all coming up next. It's the Early Morning Show. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole with you till about 5:40. A lot of sports going on last night, and if you're up this early, you probably didn't catch them all, or at least catch the ending of them all, or maybe the big takeaways from them. So, hey, let's go over it right now. And we start with some baseball. Astros, Yankees, ALCS Game 4. Last night, Zach Greinke, Masahiro Tanaka taking the mound. Greinke was okay, 4 1/3, gave up one run on 3 hits. Sorry, 4 walks and 5 strikeouts for him. And then Masahiro Tanaka on the other side, 5 innings, gave up 3 runs on 4 hits. And the big thing for the Astros and their offense, what it's been built on for a couple years now, is the power. And that's what, in 2019, baseball in 2019, all about the home run ball. And so it was 1-0 Yankees in the top of the third. And then George Springer steps up to the plate and does this.
George Springer up there, first and second, nobody out. That ball's drilled to left field. It sends Gardner back at the wall. It's gone!
George Springer, a three-run shot, gives the Astros the lead. It's 3-1.
Yeah, Fox and the Astros radio network on the call there, and so the Astros go up 3-1 and just deaden that Yankee Stadium crowd in the third inning, and then we move along to the sixth inning, where Carlos Correa just continues to kill the Bronx Bombers, and he does so again.
And that's hit pretty well and pretty deep to left. Gardner is going back, looking up. See you later! A three-run home run for Carlos Correa, and the Astros go up 6-1.
And the Astros have broken it open here in the sixth of game four.
Right where Springer hit his.
And how many big home runs is Carlos Correa going to have in this series already? Holy cow.
Yeah. Carlos, that was the Astros and the Yankees radio network on the calls there combined. Carlos Correa hit a walk-off homer in game two to win it for the Astros after the Yankees had taken a 1-0 series lead. And then he hits that three-run shot last night to basically bury the Yankees. And so the Astros take a 3-1 series lead now. They're just one win away from the World Series. And I don't know about you, but I like to see the Yankees lose games, so I'm pretty happy with this result. Also, I kind of want to see Gerrit Cole keep pitching, and I want to see him on the World Series stage. So Astros over Yankees 8-3 in the ALCS. Meanwhile, in football, Thursday night football last night, Chiefs and Broncos, the final score shouldn't surprise you. 30-6, the Chiefs get the win over Denver and Joe Flacco. And even though that game was in Denver, I don't know if the Broncos really had much of a chance in this game. But the big story to come out of it is that Patrick Mahomes got injured in this game in the second quarter off of a play that we know, well, actually we don't know all that well here in Pittsburgh because they refused to run it, and that's the quarterback sneak. Now, Patrick Mahomes came into this game with a bum ankle. It was worse than people thought it was, and he was a little gimpy, and his status for the game maybe wasn't in question, but everybody knew about the ankle injury. And so in the second quarter, he goes for a quarterback sneak here, and it's being reported as a dislocated knee that he suffers on this play. Here's how it sounded.
DeMarcus Robinson comes in motion, and Mahomes sneaks it, and somebody better guard that ankle. Patrick Mahomes, is he off the field? He is not. He might be hurt, Kendall. They are calling to the sideline. Mahomes may be hurt.
Oh, no.
As he went on the quarterback sneak, he is down on his left hip, and he has taken his helmet off.
Now, obviously, the Chiefs radio network on the call there, and so he gets knocked out of the game. Matt Moore comes in, finishes it off. He goes 10 of 19, 117 yards and a touchdown, but this is going to open up two avenues now. One, whether or not teams should run the quarterback sneak at all, and we see one of the smartest teams in the league and one of the best teams in the league, if not the best, in the New England Patriots run this all the time with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, and they're successful with it all the time, and he's never gotten injured with it. So that's one side of it. Then the other side of it is that things like this can happen to a star quarterback now off of a quarterback sneak. And Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Chiefs, described the injury after the game as, quote, "His knee didn't even look like a knee. It was all out of whack. I couldn't even describe it." And so that doesn't sound like just a small injury that the Chiefs and Mahomes are going to be able to get over. And now the ripple effect of that is not only can you ever run a quarterback sneak in the NFL, is it ever smart to do so, especially with a star quarterback, but now the Chiefs don't have Patrick Mahomes. So who's going to beat the Patriots in the AFC? Or did they just get their ticket to the Super Bowl? It could have just happened last night with that injury. And so those are two big, big storylines that will probably be talked about for the rest of the day today, especially around here with the Steelers on a bye. That is just a huge story in the NFL to come from last night. And speaking of the NFL and just sports in general, Steelers, of course, aren't playing this weekend, but there's still a lot to watch. I'll outline what I'm watching for this weekend. And maybe if you want to just hunker down and watch sports all weekend, I'll give you what to look out for. And I have two threads, I guess, of stats that if you want to be positive, if you want to be optimistic about the Steelers, if you're down in the dumps maybe and you need to be lifted up about the outcome or the potential outcome of this season, I have two stats here that can make you feel a little bit better. And I'll go over that before I end the show here. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 527 on your Friday morning. This is the Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole here with you for a few more minutes. Steelers are on a bye this week, and you might be thinking to yourself, what the heck am I going to watch sports-wise when the Steelers aren't on TV? Well, it's funny you ask that, because I looked into that myself, thinking this very same thing. And first, it's going to be nice this weekend. I checked the weather, and the highs are supposed to get close to like 70, and it's supposed to be sunny. And so get outside, maybe, for once, if you know that you don't have anything else going on. But if you do want to sit around and watch sports, which I can't blame you for either, there are some things to watch, including tonight. I went over the Pitt and Syracuse game at 7 o'clock, how big that is for the program, and how Pitt really just can't afford to lose that game if they want to have national relevancy and if they want to keep taking those next steps under Pat Narduzzi. So that's 7 o'clock tonight. Also, Pens and Stars tonight at 7. The Penguins coming off a big win against Colorado, and so they're feeling the momentum off of that game, but their roster's a little wonky right now with all of these injuries, and they got defensemen playing the wing, and so that's a storyline to look out for. Then you get into Saturday, and I'll kind of run you through the timeline of Saturday, maybe some things to watch for. At noon, Clemson and Louisville is very interesting to me because I think that's going to be a much closer game than maybe people think. Clemson, obviously a dominant team, is looking for, you know, probably going lining up another national title or at least being in that game again this year. But I watched Louisville earlier this year against Notre Dame, and they put up a pretty good fight against them. Some things can change, of course, over a few weeks, but I think they've got some offensive firepower to at least hang around Clemson. So that might be an interesting ACC game to watch at noon on Saturday. And then Oklahoma, West Virginia, if you have local ties there, although I don't think the Mountaineers have much of a chance against Jalen Hurts and the Sooners. And then later on Saturday, big game at 7:30, Penn State and Michigan. Two teams that are coming off wins over Iowa, two teams that have great defenses. It might end up being 13-10, who knows. I don't entirely trust what Penn State has going on offensively and with quarterback Sean Clifford. I don't know. I don't think he's really proven that you can trust him quite yet. And they got to get the ball in the hands of KJ Hamler as much as they can. That should be a very, very good game. I don't know if Harbaugh going on the road, I don't know if Michigan really stacks up against Penn State in that way. I think the Nittany Lions get the win there, but I think it'll at least be a very entertaining game on Saturday night. So you can sit around and watch that. And then Sunday, of course, I don't know about the 1 o'clock games. I'm not even sure which games are going to be shown in the Pittsburgh market. But the 4:25 is Ravens-Seahawks in Seattle. And that is a big game because, well, the Ravens are in the AFC North, of course, and they're currently leading the division at 4-2. But Seattle's 5-1. And I don't know if they're really that good or if they've gotten somewhat fortunate throughout the way that Steelers played them well and really had a chance to beat them at home, and then they got down early against Cleveland but then came back against the Browns last week, and so they could go for what should be a clean sweep. It will be a clean sweep of the AFC North because they beat Cincinnati earlier this year as well going up against the Ravens, and it's another test for what I think a Baltimore team that isn't maybe as good as people think that it is. It being at 4-2, but I got a team that just added Marcus Peters in the back end for that secondary. So I want to see how he is implemented into things there. And it would be very, very nice if Seattle could get that win over Baltimore and defend their home turf there. And then Sunday night, Cowboys and Eagles is intriguing to me because If the Cowboys lose that game, both teams are coming in at 3-3. If the Cowboys lose that game, they completely fall apart, in my opinion. All of a sudden, all the headlines that they've kind of been keeping at bay throughout the year so far come on full force. Dak Prescott, they're still deciding if they want to pay him big money. They lose this game, all of a sudden the narrative becomes Dak isn't that guy. Jason Garrett will be on the hot, hot, hot seat and probably won't make it. You know, the headlines will be that he won't make it through the season and that maybe Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma is the next guy in for Dallas. And so it's always nice to see Dallas in a little bit of turmoil. Of course, we don't like the Cowboys around here. And then if the Eagles lose, Philadelphia's mad. So what's wrong about that? We like to see Philadelphia mad. And so that's an intriguing game Sunday night if you can stay up for that one. I know if you're up early and you're listening to this show right now, maybe the Sunday night games aren't really appealing unless they feature the Pittsburgh Steelers. Speaking of the Steelers, as I wrap up here on the early morning show, I found two, I don't know, threads of stats, I guess, that if you want to be optimistic and slightly optimistic about the Steelers' chances the rest of the way here, and what they have for the next 10 games after coming off the, you know, once they come off the bye. So the first one is Ryan Scarpino, the old Steelers member of the PR staff there. He of the tweet that got AB to say, trade me, let's find out. He still does some sports stuff on the side, even though he's not, you know, directly involved with the Steelers now. He went through the records of the Pittsburgh Steelers after the bye week under Mike Tomlin. So the records after the bye for the rest of the season since Mike Tomlin has been here. And the overall record turns out to be 75-37. So that's a 670 winning percentage. So that gives you some hope there. The one time they had a losing record was in 2009. They went 4-5 after the bye week. And that was really a weird season. They lost five games in a row that year. They lost to a 4-12 Chiefs team, and they lost to a 5-11 Raiders team, led by Bruce Gradkowski on that day, of course. And so, 75-37 after the bye under Mike Tomlin. That's a stat to keep in mind. Also a stat to keep in mind from Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who always goes through numbers like this and is kind of their web guy. He went through three sources of, I guess, number crunchers in football. So Football Outsiders, 538, and then ESPN's Football Power Index. And they averaged out, you know, they have all these simulations. Neil Huntington would love this site. They go through all these different simulations of what the rest of the season could look like. And averaged out from those three sources, the odds of the Steelers making the playoffs is at 30%. And the division odds are at 18%. So 1-3 chance the Steelers still make the postseason, according to all the nerds, all the geeks, all the computer stuff. And the FBI, which is the Football Power Index, listed as the Steelers as the favorite to win in 7 of the 10 remaining games that they have. So the only game that they think that the Steelers will probably lose are the game against the Rams at home and then the two road games against Cleveland and Baltimore. Those are the only games that are showing odds worse than 50-50. And if they just lose those three games, they would end up at 9-7. And 9-7 teams make the playoffs just over 43% of the time. So there you go. If you want some numbers to kind of back up and to sound smart of how the Steelers might still have a chance to get in the playoffs and that the season isn't already over, there you have it. A question of the day as I officially wrap up here on the early morning show. Bill Cowher, on the morning show yesterday, said that the Steelers are back to being a defensive team. Is that true? And would that be true if Ben Roethlisberger were still playing? It's easy to say, I guess, right now with Mason Rudolph and with Duck Hodges under center and all the offensive struggles that we've seen there. But if Ben Roethlisberger was still here, would it still be a defensive team? Have we gotten back to that being the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Something to think about and talk about today throughout the weekend. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet Route 19 in the South Hills with great incentives on existing 2019s and the all-new 2020s. Today, times of clouds and sun and a high of 56. And tonight, patchy clouds and a low of just 35. Pre-show is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.